Conversation soon turned into complaints about stress in work and life. And so this group of alumni, as they were sitting around talking, complaining about the stress of work and life, the professor whom they had gone to visit offered his guest some coffee, and they readily accepted. So the professor went to the kitchen and returned with a large pot of coffee and an assortment of cups, porcelain, plastic, glass, crystal. Some cups were plain looking, some expensive, some were quite exquisite. And he told them to help themselves to the coffee. When all of the students had a cup of coffee in hand, the professor said, "If you noticed, all the nice looking expensive cups were taken up, leaving behind the plain and cheap ones. While it is normal for you to want only the best for yourselves, that, students, is the source of your problems and stress." He went on to explain, "Be assured that the cup itself adds no quality to the coffee. In most cases, it is just more expensive, and in some cases, even hides what we drink. What all of you really wanted was coffee, not the cup. But you consciously went for the best cups, and then you began eyeing each other's cups. Now consider this," he said. "Life is the coffee. The jobs, the money, the position in society are the cups. They are just the tools to hold and contain life. The type of cup we have does not define nor change the quality of life that we live. Sometimes by concerting and concentrating on only the cup, we fail to enjoy the coffee that God has provided. God brews the coffee, not the cups. Enjoy your coffee," which, remember, he likened to life. "The happiest people don't have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything. Live simply. Live generously. Live deeply. Speak kindly. And leave the rest to God." That true-to-life story was shared by Dave Holman, a prison missionary who serves with Rock of Ages Ministries. He shared it many years ago. But I thought as I got it out and read it again, you know, nothing has changed. Human nature is the same. We all look for the nice cup. We'd all like the best of whatever in which to live our life. But it's the life that is important and that counts. It was about a month ago in reading the Times Herald newspaper that I came across this article. I clipped it out and I thought I would use it, but it laid there in its proper pile for sure a month. Maybe it's closer to 2 months. What's titled on this that I'll be reading from is "Laughing Can Be Good Medicine." The author of it said, "I don't laugh enough. My heart knows this." But it was just reconfirmed. And that's a conclusion I've reached after a couple recent experiences, she says. One day, a conversation with a fairly new friend turned to bantering and bursts of laughter. And when the friend left, I thought, now, why don't I spend more time with her? We make each other laugh, and it felt good. The writer goes on and says, I used to laugh more. At least, I think I did. I do, however, recall my husband sometimes telling me, lighten up. Have more fun. Several studies have proven an ability to laugh can have health benefits, even with serious illnesses. Another awakening came when I went with a friend to the Lucille Ball Museum in Jamestown. And while there, we added a tour of the Comedy Center 2 blocks down, which I enjoyed very much. She goes on and tells how she learned things about Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz and their lives. And then she goes on and she writes about laughing and fun and how it can be a benefit. While watching a video clip, a tour group passed us. Where are you from? To which a guy responded, Chautauqua County. We can sometimes overlook the fun stuff to do in our own backyard, and went on again to talk more about the lightheartedness of her day with her friend. And you say, well, that's sort of interesting, Pastor, but what's the point? If the author knows the Bible verse, Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If the author knows it, there was no acknowledging of scriptures in the entire length of this article. As Pastor says, given time, science catches up with scriptures. Well, secular society also stumbles on to what the Bible has taught. The Bible's taught this for centuries, yes, since it's in Proverbs, millennia. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It was such an astounding discovery. Well, maybe discovery's a little strong. But it was such an impressive thing that it became an article in a newspaper. Wow. What do you think of that? Some successful students went to visit an old university professor, and they got a lesson from a cup of coffee that all of them should have known, could have known, and the same would be true for us. How many times are there things that we hear and we become aware of, and yet when we as Christians, when we as people who are regularly subjected to a teaching and preaching of God's word, when we hear some things, it rings a little bell, a little light goes off in us that we realize, hey, that's what the Bible teaches. You know, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22, it might be a new verse for a couple people, but I suspect that most all are familiar with Proverbs 17 and 22. A merry heart. Laughter goes with that, doesn't it? It's hard to have merriment and not have laughter. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It's good medicine. It's good for the soul. He goes on in verse 22 and says, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. When there's nothing to laugh about, when there's nothing but dismay and being distraught that overtakes a person, broken spirit just affects the whole body. Here it uses the word bones. all of what's comprised in my being is affected. But you want some good medicine? Try, as the prison missionary's letter said, newspaper letter. She said that her husband tells her, lighten up a little. I got a son-in-law who, that's something that he can say. And I can hear him saying it to me. Oh, come on, Raj, lighten up a little. Okay? I dare say probably there's a lot of us that would benefit to lighten up sometimes. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13 carries on with this same theme. Proverbs 15:13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Echoing, if you please, well, since it comes first, preceding chapter 17, a merry heart. You know, we have so many things to be happy about. And it's ironic that I would be saying that to you, okay? There are some here who they can see the good side of the worst of things that happen. And then there are some of us others who can see the bad side of the best of things that happen. Which one are you? Probably somewhere in between. That's where most people tend to fall. But it nevertheless is true. As Proverbs 15:13 says and 17:22 says, a merry heart is just good. And so we ought to focus, what must we do to allow ourselves to have a merry heart? Probably when we're, my daddy used to call it, down in the dumps, okay? When we're feeling really low, how about this, that we pray. That we pray. How about when we're feeling low that we pray, Lord, and I've heard someone say this many times, Lord, I don't like feeling this way. But isn't it so that sometimes we like to feel miserable? Now, why would I say we like to feel miserable? Okay? Sometimes I'm fearful that the idea is that self-pity sort of finds a place to lodge in our mind. It's going to make problems. It's going to create more of a problem with whatever it is that causes you to be down in the dumps to begin with. In Proverbs chapter 12, in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25, heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it to stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. You know, when you are like that, when you are down and it just seems like you can't get up, and even worse, when you don't feel like getting up, then probably it would be good to call or to text or to message or to email. Oh, there you got three different methods you can use. You can telephone them, you can send them an email, or you can send them a text. Wow, yeah. But a good word maketh it glad. You need to, when you're down, and when you feel defeated, and you don't even feel like getting up, that You know, wallowing in self-pity is somehow satisfying, then you need to call the right person.
That's right.
That's the right person for you. The right person for me might not do a thing for you.
Right.
But you know what? When I'm down, I need the right person for me.
Right.
The same as when you're down, you need the right person for you. Who is that? Is it a friend? Is it a co-worker? Is it a sibling? What relationship, perhaps in the family? Is it a fellow church person? You know, and sometimes when we need that good word, it isn't that we have to make a call or send a text and say, man, I'm really having a rotten day. What can you do to cheer me up? In other words, I'd like to use you. Ooh, that doesn't seem quite right, does it? So you just talk to the person. You just communicate with the person. Hi, how are you doing? And they'll reciprocate after they answer and tell you, I'm doing just fine. And you feel, ugh. But then they'll probably reciprocate. And how are you doing? They'll pretty well be able to detect when you say, well, I'm doing. That's not your best day. But just talking with them. Because you see, it isn't that person that you're really going to get the help from. It's what God's going to do for you through that person. Because remember, we began with, when you're down, talk to God about it. And let him know that you don't want to be there. And you may as well tell him, because he knows it anyway. But Lord, I am. Will you help me, Father?
Amen.
Okay? And then, like I say, a good word. So call whoever, text whoever, email whoever. Communicate with them. And God will work through that. You say, well, I've done that already, and he didn't work through them. Well, then he must have some other way that he wants to answer your prayer. Because you know that God loves you. You know that God cares about you more than the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And therefore, he'll meet that need somehow. If he isn't going to do it by a good word from somebody else, he'll lift that heaviness of the heart in some other manner. I've always liked Proverbs 25:25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Just wait in the Lord. And he'll strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, in the Lord. In some manner, you're talking to him in the morning, and you know what? It might be at 9 o'clock at night when you're into that special TV program, or you're listening to that particularly good radio program, whatever you're doing. And the telephone rings. What's your reaction? Huh? Can you picture yourself sitting watching, you're watching, that may not be your favorite, but a special program. You're all wrapped up in it. The next event's going to happen in the whole plot of things. Now, I never do this, but. Who did that? It's 9 o'clock at night. Well, you answer because you're dutiful. Hello. That's just like when you come to church and you're fussing in the with the family in the car. You pull up, you open the door, and you get out, and the guys on the porch say, "Hi, Bill," and, oh, hi, how you doing? And the family looks at each other and rolls their eyes. But it might be at 9 o'clock at night. It might have been 9 o'clock in the morning that you prayed and asked him and contacted someone expecting that he'd send a good word through that person, but it didn't happen. And you go through the day and you're down. As a matter of fact, the upper sides of your hands are scraped from being so low and dragging them on the ground. Yeah, got that picture of the monkey. You're down, you're hurting. And don't forget that your Father loves you. And he might just be letting you there because there's something he wants to teach us, huh? Something he wants us to learn. Are we willing to go through the lessons of life to learn?
Come on.
If we're wanting God's will, you say, then we'll be willing to go through those lessons of life. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We don't need a newspaper article, though it was a pleasant article. We've got the original version, you see? We don't have to have an unusual, though it was quite unique, way that the professor went about teaching his former students who had succeeded in life, but their success didn't help them to appreciate what they had. But they all liked coffee. And they learned that it wasn't their success in occupation. It wasn't their stature within the community. What was going to help them to appreciate was the way God was brewing their life. How about you and me? Can we learn from such humble little things? God wants to teach us, and he will do it. Father in heaven, I pray that you will help us to learn, that we'll always have that you want to show us and teach us. Father, work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.